And now, the rest of the story. Hey, diddle diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such sport, and the dish ran away with the spoon. Well, now that rhyme is not nearly so nonsensical as you think. But that, well, that is the rest of the story. Elizabeth Foster was born in 1665 in England, and she didn't dare repeat that verse out loud until she got to this side of the Atlantic, because her verse was poking some pretty pointed fun at Queen Elizabeth and her court. You see, in those days, every queen was called a cat. Elizabeth did play the fiddle. The little dog was her lover, the Earl of Leicester, and the spoon referred to Lady Catherine Grey, a lady-in-waiting who tasted every dish before it was served to Her Majesty. The dish, well, that was the Earl of Hertford, custodian of the Queen's tableware, and it was he who eloped with Lady Catherine. And you thought this was kid stuff? Elizabeth Foster came to the United States with her little poem, married a widower in Boston named Isaac Goose, who had 10 children. Elizabeth became Mother Goose, that's right, to 10 children, and for the amusement of her 10 stepchildren, Mrs. Goose recited other little verses, which she had brought from England or written en route. The one about Mary, Mary, quite contrary, that referred to Mary, Queen of Scots. King George was Georgie Porgy, who kissed the girls and made them cry. Edward VI, who seized farms for sheep pastures, was lampooned in her verse, Ba, Ba, Black Sheep. Eventually, the second Mrs. Goose had another 10 children. Now there were 20. Her little verses became necessary bedtime ditties with which to put her enormous brood to sleep, and it was about this time that she wrote of the old woman who lived in a shoe who had so many children she didn't know what to do. And yet the rhymes, which are now so familiar, might never have been heard outside the nursery, except that one day, while Mrs. Goose was still cooing verses to the most recent offspring, some of the earlier ones were ripening for marriage, and there appeared upon the scene one Thomas Fleet from Shropshire, England, and he wooed and won one of the Goose daughters. But he, a staunch Tory, did not like the way Mrs. Goose poked fun at the crown, and eventually his antagonism mounted to a fury, and he sought in callous ire to brand her publicly. Now, Fleet was a printer. So in 1719, he copied down those verses and he published them in a pamphlet referring to the author as Old Mother Goose. In this way, he sought to alienate all of the Back Bay from his stepmother-in-law. This young Fleet was certain would silence her impertinence forever. But to Fleet's dismay, the pamphlet was praised. Everybody wanted a copy. Instead of demanding the author's scalp, they demanded a second printing. And Mother Goose will have an audience for as long as there are children. Though it was certainly not for children that she wrote, needles and pins, when a man marries, his troubles begin. That reference was to Henry VIII and his fifth wife, Catherine Howard, who introduced pins from France before she lost her head. Soon husbands had to provide their wives with special allowances for this luxury, and that's when the phrase pin money was injected into our language. Oh, yes, these lines, each concealing some sharp barb, these verses designed to unstuff the pompous politicians and expose the royal scandals, became nursery rhymes. They became nursery rhymes because a printer named Thomas Fleet deliberately tried to discredit his stepmother-in-law and immortalized her instead. And now you know the rest of the story.